This is Think Why Radio, and I'm Emmy DeGrappa. Think Why Radio is brought to you by the Wyoming Humanities Council, expanding our horizons through critical and creative thinking. Today, we are talking to Shannon Smith, Executive Director of the Wyoming Humanities Council. Shannon is the author of Give Me 80 Men, Women and the Myth of the Fetterman Fight. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you, Emmy. Thanks for having me.
What is your passion in writing, and how does it come through your work at the Humanities Council?
I think it all comes down to the art of storytelling, and you'll all agree that the best historians out there are the ones that can tell what they've learned through the art of a great story. And so narrative really is the tool and utility behind making the connection of a story. And I went back to grad school after many years in the software business, and I went specifically because I wanted to be the next Stephen Ambrose. I wanted to be the most famous historian out there. I only wanted to write. And after I got into the graduate program, I learned that there was so much more than just the skill of writing. It is the research. It is finding the connections and making the story come together and adding all those pieces together. And I find now in the world of the Humanities Council that it is the art of telling a great story that makes us all want to connect with each other and makes us want to have impact on each other and on the rest of the state.
How did you develop a passion for history?
That's a great question. So I spent 18 years in the software industry. And as my last job, I hit the pinnacle. It was during the boom of the software.com world. And I wanted to be in a company that was a startup, and it was a California startup, and it was an IPO-aimed organization. And we were really there to sell as much software as we could around the country. And it was the pinnacle of my career, and I was so excited. And the IPO came and went, and I realized, well, gosh, that's just one more, you know, wrong. And for me, I just felt like I didn't want to be a person whose biggest accomplishment was, oh, she sold a lot of software. And so for me, I kind of hit this point where I needed to look at something that felt more rewarding. And one night I was reached over at my nightstand to grab a book and realized that everything on this bookshelf was Western history. And I was so interested in that, I thought maybe I should see if I could go back and get a degree in history and learn how to make that. That's what I decided. So it was kind of a very, very early midlife crisis is what I call it.
So when you went back, where did you go back to school?
I went to the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. I was living in Colorado at the time, but I'm a native Nebraskan. And I literally snuck out and took the GMAT test, didn't tell my family. I didn't want anybody to know I was going to try to do this. And I took the GMAT and I applied to the university. And darn if I didn't get a letter in the mail one day and said, well, we'd like you to come and interview. And so that's when I told my family and drove to Lincoln and met with all the faculty there. And they liked me and made me an offer to have a fellowship to come and teach. And the rest is, as they say, history. So it was just kind of an unplanned, serendipitous, great, great mistake and great idea.
Shannon, what are your goals and for the Wyoming Humanities Council? What is the passion that you want to bring to the council? What do you want people to learn about the humanities? It's such a big word.
Yes, the humanities are a big word. And what I want people to understand is that humanities are a tool that are what we can use to understand the human experience. And that if we connect with each other and we understand, or at least attempt to understand each other, then our state and our nation and our world will be a better place. And so the way I view the humanities is they're a vehicle for making connections between each other. And so my goals for the Wyoming Humanities Council is to take the blessing of being a very small state and help us all realize that we're part of each other and that we have connections and we have as many commonalities as we do differences. And so if we can use the disciplines of the humanities, the things like history and philosophy and law and English and literature and all the things that are considered the disciplines of the humanities, if we can use those to tell the stories that are out there that can bring an individual's story up and help us all look at that and say, oh, I have something in common with that person or with that person's story, then we make a better state. And so I hope we can make an impact in that way, is that we can help the state of Wyoming be viewed as an open and understanding and culturally diverse and culturally interested and engaged place to live.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of in a nutshell, tell us how the humanities across the nation, the humanities councils across the nation, are changing and addressing critical issues.
Oh, and that could be an hour-long discussion someday. Just for folks to know out there, we are the state's affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities, and every state has a humanities council, as well as the six territories that are associated with the United States of America. And every state is allocated a major part of the National Endowment for the Humanities budget. And so, and the thing that's beautiful about this is that we're 56 unique geographical units, 56 different states and territories, each one doing something completely different. For instance, California has a huge emphasis on their Humanities Council has a huge emphasis on producing films and documentaries and supporting the film industry. And the state just to the south of us, Colorado, has one of these beautiful literacy programs called Mother, Father, Read, where they bring programs to the grade schools and pre-grade schools and help them learn how to read and help parents learn how to read to their kids. And so every state has kind of a different and unique flavor. But what's happening, as you know, the budgets that come from the federal government are shrinking. And in today's dollars, we receive about the same amount of funding as we did in the early 1990s. And so what we do in Wyoming, we're blessed to have support from our state legislature. And then also we receive funding from individuals and corporations. And that does add a unique dimension to what we do, because we want to build this connection that's very comparable to, for instance, Wyoming Public Radio, where it's a public-private partnership. And so it affects the kind of programming we do, because we really need to engage closely and more close with the people of this state so that they see our value. So we have to work to show our value.
I was reading an article, actually it was a speech, that the new executive director of the National Endowment for the Humanities, Bro Adams, wrote in a speech that he wants the humanities to be in the public square.
Yes.
So that people realize that they do the humanities every day.
Exactly. The new chairman for the National Endowment for the Humanities is William Bro Adams, and he's a former president of Colby College. And he came to us about 4 months ago, and one of the first things that he wanted us to think about is portraying the humanities in a way that is in the public eye and helping the public understand what the humanities really does do for society. And so he has launched what he's calling the Common Good Initiative. And this will be a major program where state councils, as well as any kind of public organization, will be able to apply for federal funding to put on programs that help engage our people in the United States with major topics. And some examples are, how is man interacting with the natural resources of our country? How is biomedicine going to affect society? Another one is how is this information technology and the rapid change of technology, how is that affecting man? And how do we need to change, or how do we need to adapt to this new kind of world that we're living in? And so he has several different frameworks that we can all explore and realize that the humanities really can help us progress and help us advance in this new changing world. And the humanities are this vehicle, this tool we can use to explore this new world.
And he also has a real deep passion for veterans. Tell us about that.
That's right. Chairman Adams is a Vietnam vet himself, and we have a national program called Standing Together, Americans and the Experience of War. And every state has been putting on programs that support veterans, for one, but also help their state's citizens understand or examine what war has done within their social structures. And so, for instance, we here in Wyoming just toured a film called 4443, which was about the Bataan Death March and in World War II. And it was a tremendous experience. We had vets at every single one of the showings of this film. And we also had the film and books author tour with the film, so we had a question and answer session. And it was a way to bring communities in the state together to honor and recognize what our World War II vets went through and what they did. But also, it really exposed people to what those soldiers went through in war and their families back home. So we have lots of interesting programs going around the country in the various humanities councils, and we'll continue that programming to support veterans and support our country as we continue to experience war.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the humanities are such the very core of who we are as people. And I love that as I've been learning about the humanities, is that I love realizing that people do the humanities every day, whether they know it or not. And that's been such an eye-opener for me, because a lot of times people think about the humanities as a class they took in school.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And if you Google or look up the word humanities, you'll see that, I mean, it's human at its very core. And everything we do in life, everything we do at any moment is experiencing something. It's the human experience. And so the disciplines of the humanities take a look at that human experience, mm-hmm. and try to explore it and apply meaning to it. And no matter what we're doing, whether we're watching a terrific film or, gosh, even just doing the dishes and our mind is wandering about what it is that we did today, and did it have meaning? Mm-hmm. Are we teaching our children the right things? Parents worry about that every day. That's the human experience. And so we need to respect the tools of the humanities and understand that without them, yes, we might be able to go get a job, but you use the humanities within that job, whether you're a math teacher or an engineer or an attorney, any type of business person. The more you have the ability to work with the tools of the humanities, the better you are going to be at anything that you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Shannon. Thank you for being here. And this is Emmy DeGrappa and ThinkWhy Radio. And thank you to Nancy Clancy, our technical support.